Here we are in the congressional corner with Congressman Peter Welch. You know what? He's the only one in all of Vermont. There are two senators, but only one congressman. Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont at large, in office since 2007. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, Peter, tell me about North Korea. What do you make of all of that?
You know, it's pretty bizarre when you think about it, because with all the bluster of President Trump, little rocket man, he was going to bring him to his knees. He was going to make it non-nuclear. They would never have a nuclear weapon. The latest reports are that Donald Trump is going to agree to allow nuclear weapons to be in the possession of North Korea in exchange for a freeze. And it is just a very vivid example of the all talk, no show foreign policy of Donald Trump. You know, it's pretty strange, actually, because he had so much bluster about Little Rocket Man and all the ridicule. And then the dramatic gesture of going to North Korea, where it became clear that there was no advance preparation and the visit was cut short. No deal was arrived at. Now he has this dramatic made-for-TV photo of him at the DMZ, but the reports are indicating that there's no progress on getting rid of nuclear weapons in North Korea. There's a capitulation to North Korea having nuclear weapons. So I think if this is how it turns out, history will record this as a major failure of the Trump administration.
It's unbelievable to me, you know. And the other thing is, let's try to remember who he's calling his best friend. You know, probably the greatest dictator in the whole world. It's unbelievable.
You know, it's very alarming when you step back, because President Trump clearly feels quite comfortable with the autocrats. North Korea is an example. The incident at the G20 where he was sort of kidding with Putin about Russian interference in our election. And by the way, I found that the most appalling in many ways, because what's sacred to all of us here, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, but it's our democratic tradition where voters make the decision who our leaders are. And we absolutely, I think both sides, Republicans and Democrats, do not want outside interference. And the Mueller report, for whatever disputes there are about Trump, it documented, and our intelligence agencies confirmed, there was enormous interference by Russia, by Putin, in our elections. And it's not anything for our president to joke about. So I found that very disturbing.
I'll bet you did. Is there any mood in the House to, you know, discipline him about all of this?
Well, there's a number of House members who have already come out in favor of impeachment, but this is a profound problem where ultimately the voters are going to have to get involved, and we're going to have to decide whether we're going to do the things that we need to save our democracy. I mean, there's a number of things. I mean, Trump is obviously very cavalier about this, and whatever the Mueller report concluded about no, quote, collusion, there was an enormous amount of evidence about the president, then candidate Trump, being aware of the Russian efforts to interfere in the election and being welcoming of the assistance, even if he didn't promote the involvement. And that's a line that nobody should ever cross. And then you see what's just happened in our Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court said no matter how explicit a legislature is that it is designing districts in order to completely discriminate against another party and make it to the advantage of the incumbent politicians rather than the voters, that's okay. That's also very disturbing. And by the way, something that was made possible because Mitch McConnell refused to consider the appointment of Merrick Garland in Obama's last year, and we ended up with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh.
That's so true. Let me ask you a question. It all comes down to this, right? You have the Democrats have the House. If they had the Senate, a good deal more would be possible. Now, I'm going to ask an honesty question, the kind of thing you talk to about with your family. And do you think if the Democrats played their cards right, and the people who were running for president weren't running for president, but running for senator and the rest of it, is it possible to take, for the Democrats to take the Senate?
Yes, I do. But I wouldn't focus on the fact that some of the candidates who are theoretically really strong in the Senate, say Bullock from Montana, as an example, are running for president. Because we've seen that people who are not the top tier, according to polling, if you get a good candidate who really connects with the people in the state that she or he is trying to represent, they can win. So I'm not going to lament that, even though it might have been my preference. If Steve Bullock asked me, Senate or president, I would have said, hey, you can probably pick up that Senate seat. We still got a shot.
What would the condition have to be? I guess everybody's asking me this. I think I hear so much disparagement of Trump in New York, in Massachusetts, New Jersey. People really hate the guy. But is that enough?
It's not. I mean, I think there's two things. Let me preface this by saying that Trump is really, I think, it's not just about him individually. It's about the fact that in that last election, Trump and Clinton, Clinton did not connect with working class voters in districts that normally have been won by Democrats. And Trump, at least, I think, did connect with them, even though he hasn't delivered for them. So my view is that those of us who oppose Trump have to be offering something real to the people in America who've been working hard, but whose wages have been stagnant and are feeling left behind and also feeling disrespected. And what we can point out is that Trump hasn't delivered, and he really hasn't. You know, the income inequality, the wage stagnation, the mountain of debt that a lot of kids bear when they get out of school, the inability of kids who don't want to go to college to be able to get a toehold in a trade, that's all really tough. And those are things that I think we need to be talking about and addressing, because bottom line, if people are going to vote for you, they have to trust you, and they have to trust that you understand the world they're in, and you're committed to trying to help them help themselves.
Obviously, you know, you come from Vermont. You know that Bernie is a prime candidate. He's right up there near the top. Do you see any change in the way in which Bernie is appealing to voters?
No. I mean, you saw in the debate that he sounded just like the Bernie in 2016. The difference for Bernie is that there are a number of other people who are picking up the progressive agenda.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, Elizabeth Warren is doing a very good job. Kamala Harris had a great debate. And even Biden, I think, is much more of focusing on progressive items. So what you've seen with Bernie is him staying true to what he was talking about in 2016, but he's in a different environment where the Democratic Party has essentially accepted his agenda. I mean, it's an extraordinary accomplishment what Senator Sanders has done, and now he's in a different race. It's not just him and Hillary. It's he and 19 others, or 23 others, actually.
I have a very fast question. I don't expect a great answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If Bernie retires, will you run for that Senate seat?
I'm not expecting Bernie to retire.
Okay, good answer. We've been talking to Congressman Peter Welch, the only congressman in all of Vermont, and a guy who I have immense respect for. Hey, Peter, when we come back the next time, let's go to immigration, okay?
Sure, yep.